15 years ago, the family of Miguel Perez Jr. saw him go off to war. And in a way, they're still waiting for him to come home. For the last year, Miguel has been detained, fighting a deportation order back to Mexico, a country he left as a child.
He has not been to Mexico since he was 8 years old. If he's deported, Perez says he worries about his safety.
All the while struggling with PTSD from his time serving with the U.S. military in Afghanistan. Miguel has tried to fight his case, but last month, the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals denied his request to stay. And that was his last option. So recently, Miguel started a hunger strike inside the detention center. And that's when news outlets like the Chicago Tribune and various TV stations started to pick up his story.
This is resolved. Perez is holding a hunger strike.
An Army veteran is on a hunger strike.
On a hunger strike after a
By this point, the hunger strike has lasted a little over 2 weeks. But way before things reached this boiling point, reporter Marinés Zamudio was talking to Miguel. She takes it from here.
Hello, this is a prepaid call from
Miguel Perez,
an inmate at the Kenosha County Detention Center.
It was, you know, like a tale of two cities. Like, it was like the best of times and the worst of times. But the worst of times because I'm in prison and I'm away from my family and freedom. And it's like, oh, how did I get here? This is crazy.
That's Miguel Perez Jr. He's calling me from an immigration detention center in Wisconsin a few months ago.
But it was the best of times because I started realizing what I've been doing in the past 2 years and the insanity, all the insane stuff that I was doing and all the risks that I was doing.
He's wearing prison-like scrubs, but in 2002, he wore a U.S. military uniform. Miguel was part of the first troops sent to fight in Afghanistan following the 9/11 terrorist attacks.
On my orders, the United States military has begun strikes against Al-Qaeda terrorist training camps and military installations of the Taliban regime in Afghanistan.
Miguel was born in Mexico, but he moved to Chicago when he was 8 years old. So he grew up here and he considers himself a Chicagoan. He joined the military because he wanted to serve his country and follow the footsteps of some of his family members.
But one of the main reasons that I stayed, when I spoke to the recruiter, was that I felt that everyone should be, at one point or another, should join the military and do a service for the country. And I always considered myself from here. So I was little, and I got great uncles and family from my left side of the family that went to Korea, were in Vietnam. So I just thought that it was my time. I was like, I got the opportunity right now. I was like, why not? And just to do something patriotic, I guess.
When he joined the military, he had a green card. And after serving two tours in Afghanistan, he moved back to Chicago with his family. The transition back to civilian life was really difficult for him. He really couldn't cope with the change. He was going to the VA hospital to try to get some treatment for his PTSD, but didn't really find the care that he needed. And he says that it was because his injuries weren't as visible as some of the other soldiers in the waiting room.
It's not so much, at first it wasn't so much nightmares or anything like that. It was just, I was just upset at people because I felt like nobody appreciate what these guys do. And I felt like a sense of people owing to people in the service at first. And then later it's just, I don't know, I just started kind of like freaking out.
So he started drinking and using drugs to sort of cope with the PTSD that he was suffering after he came back from war. He didn't really remember what was going on until his family and friends told him some of the odd behavior that he was exhibiting while he was drunk or high.
I was at a friend's house one time, and another friend came in, and he was like, is it okay? Is it safe? And he was just playing around. I was like, what do you mean? And he started saying, well, last night you were crawling around, and you were doing some weird stuff. And I was like, really? Like, yeah. You don't remember? No, not really.
he was living with his parents. His father's name is Miguel as well, and his mother's name is Esperanza. His parents knew that he was different from the first time that he got back. They noticed he was not patient. He was irritable to a point where it really scared Esperanza.
Pero cuando yo
Miguel's mother.
Pensé que sí necesitaba ya la ayuda.
And there was one instance that really scared her. Miguel was sleeping on the couch, and she tried to wake him up. And when she did that, he pushed her.
Se levantó y me empujó. Y se me quedaba viendo como que no me conocía.
She noticed that he wasn't able to recognize her. And that really scared her.
Mamá, nunca me vuelvas a despertar así. No estoy bien, no me siento bien.
She tried to look for help. She would drive him to the VA hospital every week. She would sit in the waiting room with him. And over again, they would get extensions. They would get the message to come back to the hospital. But he wasn't really getting the help he needed. In 2008, Miguel and a friend who sold drugs got arrested, and Miguel ended up pleading guilty to a felony drug conviction. He was sentenced to 15 years in prison. Miguel never expected to end up incarcerated, but on the other hand, he was really glad that he went to prison. In state prison, he was able to get the help he desperately needed for his PTSD. He started seeing a psychiatrist, he started going to group therapy, and he started getting medication. It took nearly 2 years for the psychiatrist to get the right dose to deal with his anxiety and depression.
It was like a bittersweet because, yes, I was away from home, and it was sad and everything else that comes with being in prison. But at the same time, I was making progress in me. I was feeling better. I wasn't running around in the streets and doing drugs just to be able to cope.
So he was about to be released for good behavior when he was transferred to the Immigration Detention Center facing a deportation.
As soon as next week, Perez is one of the thousands of so-called green card soldiers, undocumented immigrant men and women who serve in the American military but face deportation.
So as a legal permanent resident, you are able to work, join the military, and live here legally. But under a strict immigration law from 1996 by President Bill Clinton, legal permanent residents can lose that status if convicted of a felony conviction. And that's what happened to Miguel, and that's what happens to other veterans like Miguel. I asked for numbers of veterans who have been deported, but the U.S. Immigration Customs Enforcement told me that they don't keep track of those numbers. So when he was transferred to the Immigration Detention Center, all of his PTSD treatment changed completely. The medication and the therapy that was helping him so much essentially was taken away.
And unfortunately, then ICE took him, and they have different doctors and not such a good system for helping immigrants, you know, with medical treatment, because I think a lot of times they're keeping them not very long, the detainees, till they deport them.
This is Miguel's lawyer, Chris Bergen. He says the detention centers are generally used short term, but some deportees, like Miguel, end up staying for a long time, and there's no long-term plan for their care.
One thing is we're very concerned. Recently, we've been talking to him, and his mental health state has deteriorated. So, you know, I've been trying to explain to ICE that, you know, I don't think they want a military veteran to be found, you know, dead in his jail cell from suicide, you know, and it's that serious.
So Miguel's medications changed. They gave him a lower dose. And when he tried to restore the dose, the medical professionals told him that he wasn't depressed enough to justify the dosage that was given in the state prison. And so Miguel was in a really awkward place. If he admitted that he was as depressed as he was, he would have been transferred to solitary confinement.
A los soldados los mentalizan y los, es una orden que nunca tienen que abandonar a un compañero.
Miguel's father, he says soldiers are trained to never leave a soldier behind in war. Whether the soldier is wounded or whether the soldier is dead, he sort of feels like the military is leaving his son behind. He says he's not able to understand how Congress can say that they support veterans when they're doing this to his son. So after he gets transferred to an immigration detention center, his lawyer starts looking for legal actions to try to keep him in the country.
We fought the case, went to a final hearing in February of 2017, asked for with what's called withholding of removal under the Convention Against Torture. It's just saying that the U.S. can't send someone back to a country where they're more likely than not to be tortured or killed. And we based that on a couple things, one being he was a experienced, well-trained military person, and there have been articles, human rights reports that talk about, you know, cartels kind of approaching people in that situation saying, hey, you're going to work for us because you know how to use a weapon, you know how to make your way in and out of the border, and if you don't work for us, we're going to kill you. So that was one of the arguments that we made.
The immigration judge in Chicago did not agree with this argument and ordered Miguel deported. Well, Miguel didn't accept that. He continued to challenge that decision. They went to the Immigration Appeals Board. And then when that appeals court sided with the judge in Chicago, they went to the U.S. Federal Appeals Court. And that appeals court also ordered him deported in January.
Today, Governor Bruce Rauner would not give a specific reason why he denied Perez clemency. And while the 39-year-old veteran is running out of legal options,
so after the appeals court ordered him deported, Miguel went on a hunger strike. So he started on January 31st. He is only drinking water, juice, and milk for his medication. He's planning to do this hunger strike for the next 40 days, but he has to call it extreme fasting. And that's because immigration officials are monitoring everything he's doing because of the media attention that he's getting.
This is the country that I fought for, and it doesn't matter what anybody says, the facts are still the facts. I broke the law, I pleaded guilty, I went to prison and paid. Now, I've been here for over 30 years legally, and I went to war for this country. Everything else is just secondary. This is my home.
A home he's willing to fight for in any way necessary.
Earlier this week, Senator Tammy Duckworth of Illinois introduced a bill to keep Miguel Perez Jr. in the country. Thanks to reporter Maria Inés Zamudio for that story.